Special Report Coronavirus Update. I'm Christopher Cruz. More than a dozen states this week will continue their phased-in reopening of businesses, among them Oklahoma, which is ending its stay-at-home order on Friday. In Georgia today, movie theaters are reopening and limited in-restaurant dining can resume. Correspondent Gary Tuchman reports Colorado is also making moves to get its people back to work.
The governor has called for a reopening of retail businesses that were considered non-essential, but that have followed safety protocols and will deliver goods to curbside. On Friday, on May 1st, those retail stores will then allow people inside if they are still following the safety protocol.
Tuchman reporting from Greeley. British Prime Minister Boris Johnson back at work today for the first time since he spent 2 weeks in the hospital being treated for the coronavirus. The head of the World Food Program says the virus could cause devastation in some poor countries. David Beasley said without aid, there could be catastrophic humanitarian death. I'm Christopher Cruz. New York's governor is optimistic now about the coronavirus trend lines. He's released a plan for a phased reopening of businesses and a possible return of some activities in the summer.
Governor Andrew Cuomo said the numbers continue to move in the right direction here.
Overall hospitalization rate is down. The number of intubations is down. Even the number of new COVID cases is down. Still not good. Still 1,000 new COVID cases. Yesterday,
the daily death toll dropped below 400 for the first time in weeks.
367 deaths.
But he said the state still has a ways to go.
We're still watching. Big questions, how fast does that number continue to come down? First, does that number continue to come down?
Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
The coronavirus count now almost 55,000 dead in the U.S. The Dow, S&P 500, NASDAQ all up almost 1% at this hour. I'm Christopher Cruz.
When we adopted Buddy, we didn't know that he has to eat sitting up. Sit up. So just put him down.
DinoVite.com.
I heard about Dinovite and started mixing it in with his food. He's happy, he's healthy, and he's going to be with me for a long time because of Dinovite.
I love my dog. I want him happy and healthy, so I give him Dinovite.
You won't believe how happy your dog will be.
I get my Dinovite from DinoVite.com.
While you can't believe everything on social media these days, you can believe it's possible to start a new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months from the comfort of your own home, even if you have zero computer experience. Instead of waiting to see what happens when life gets back to normal, take control of your future now. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. Live online classes meet just twice a week. It's not rocket science. It's mycomputercareer.edu.
This is Lisa Stofan. Heard the Mark Patrick weight loss hypnosis hype? Well, I attended because my father stopped smoking. I lost 70 pounds and my friend lost 20 pounds in the first 2 months.
Wow, what are you waiting for? Because of the coronavirus, the seminar now online live with America's hypnotist Mark Patrick in the comfort and safety of your living room. Live online seminar for the greater Yuma area will be held live Saturday, May 9th. Register now, only $49.99 guaranteed at markpatrickseminars.com.
Weather is brought to you by Ed Whitehead's Tire Pros, with four locations to serve all of your tire needs.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Sunny and hot week this week with an excessive heat watch coming later in the week. 102, the high today. 68 overnight tonight, west wind at 10. 102 and sunny again tomorrow, 68 on Tuesday night. An excessive heat watch day will be Wednesday into Thursday. Wednesday, sunny and 104.
The following program on 560 KBLU is a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them. The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, El Dorado Broadcasters, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants are affiliated, warrant its completeness or accuracy, and it should not be relied upon as such.
Welcome to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Decent Garner Law Firm, hosted by attorneys Sean Garner and Adam Hansen.
kid. Morning, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner & Hanson. I'm in studio here with Russ Clark. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. Good to have you, man.
So it is a fantastic morning. It got out. The weather is brilliant.
It's warming up.
It's warming up. We had a fantastic weekend on the river.
You went out on the river?
Oh, yeah.
Friday and Saturday.
Yeah. You know what? I actually didn't go on the river. I went to Senator's Wash, and it is higher than I've seen it in a long, long time.
Oh, really?
It's up to the tree lines. It's up to, if you're going down from the parking lot where you first pull in, there's a sidewalk that's built there, and normally you got to walk down about 15, 20 feet to the water. Right. It's right up to that sidewalk.
Wow, I wonder what's going on there.
I don't know. They're keeping it really full, but it makes for a lot more surface area, so you can boat over a lot more area and pull a lot further inland to the beach. So, you know, we went out on two different trips. We went out one day Friday with the family.
Right.
And so I've got a family of six, and we all six of us jumped in the paddy wagon, and not the paddy wagon, but the bus.
You're having family time.
And we went out, and we did. We took the dog for the first time, and it was interesting. And enjoyed some time out on the lake with the little kids. And then the next day, we went out with my office.
Oh.
And that was a ton of fun. There are a couple of people in my office that have never been on a boat before, and so they were really looking forward to it. In fact, they don't swim.
Okay.
And we got them out on the tube. And started pulling them behind the boat.
Right. I know. They don't even know how to swim. They were okay with it.
And they had life jackets on, and, they fell off, and it was a ton of fun. I don't know. I have a hard time finding anything more fun than just getting out there on the water and getting thrown off a tube. It's a ton of fun.
That's good.
It's hard to find something that compares to that. Uh-huh. So we had a ton of fun. Of course, my version of going out to the lake, and some of the people that I work with, they're Hispanic, and it's totally different. I go out there, and whatever's in the fridge on the way out, whether it's some bottles of water and some peanut butter and jelly sandwiches that I can make up real quick, that's what I take.
Okay.
And I told them, hey, we're going to make this quick and simple and easy, so don't even worry about bringing things. I'll bring some drinks as far as waters and sodas, and that's it. Just show up, and we're going to have fun on the boat. And of course, they were there. They had their calamari, and they had their shrimp, and they were barbecuing, and they did the carne asada.
They went shopping.
Well, and that's what they do, and it was wonderful.
Yeah.
So then we had these wonderful tacos, and then we went out on the river or the lake and tried to keep it all in. So that was a fun weekend. But this morning I was going to talk about, of course, we got to talk about estate planning.
Sure.
Because that's what this show is all about, life, death, and the law. And I don't know why, but this theme of Christmas kept reoccurring to me about gifts of Christmas past, what I've received and what I really wanted and never actually received. And so I kept thinking about it and why I wanted to bring that up. So what I started doing was just kind of jotting down some ideas. And it then came to me that I've learned some really valuable life lessons during the Christmases that I begged for certain things, and sometimes I got them, most times I didn't. And so I want to talk about that a little bit today.
Okay.
So the first time I remember really, really, really wanting something for Christmas and not getting it was the Christmas of 1990. I was 12 years old. And so I wanted a BB gun really bad.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Put your eye out.
Yeah, I wanted a 10-pump BB gun. I didn't want one of those Red Ryder BB guns, one cock.
What to do damage.
I wanted a 10-pump BB gun, an air rifle, and so I begged and begged, and my mom let me know straight out, you're not getting it. And I'm like, well, is this one of those things they're saying I'm not getting it because it's a surprise, or I'm not getting it because I'm really not getting it? And no, I wasn't getting it.
Right.
And so my alternate was I wanted a slingshot. And my mom was like, I really don't think so. I don't think you're getting either of those, because I was pretty mischievous.
Right.
We lived in northern Idaho. I lived literally up in the sticks. It was 3 to 4 miles out of any, town area. We were up in the mountains about 3 to 4 miles, okay? So we were in the woods. And my mom saw that we would get into enough trouble without those types of things, so she said, no, we're not getting that. And so we got the regular things. I got new underwear and, you know, new pants, and I got a new sweatsuit for sports, and that was nice. It was cool. I did not get the BB gun, but
yeah.
One of my friends gave me a slingshot.
Oh.
And so anyway, and he got a BB gun because we both wanted a BB gun. He got the BB gun, and
his parents loved him more.
Yeah, they loved him more. So we went out and promptly shot out the window of his dad's vintage truck.
Well, maybe that's why you didn't get one.
And it wasn't, I don't remember exactly what day it was, but we had the slingshot, and the first thing I did, my mom was kind of disappointed. She was tempted on taking it away from me, but it was Christmas, and, you know, she really couldn't take it away from me. She didn't want to totally spoil the day for me. So I went outside to look for a rock. There's no rocks outside.
What?
Because there's snow everywhere.
Oh.
And, yeah, it's northern Idaho, and so there's 3 feet of snow everywhere you look. So I literally could not find a rock.
Marbles work.
Well, I went inside, and I'm looking for something to shoot with this BB gun, or this slingshot that I had. And I can't remember if it was Christmas night or the day after Christmas, but it was very soon after. And I found a penny, and I thought, I'll shoot this penny. And I didn't have a target. My room was too small. So I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to shoot this penny at the ground. So I'm in my room, my brother and I are sitting there, and I shoot the penny at the ground. Well, that penny catches air, and it swoops up, and it goes right through my window. So I'm looking at it, and I can't believe it. My mom is a prophet. She knew, that I was going to shoot my window out.
I don't think it was hard to figure out. Tell you the truth.
The wisdom that just flooded over me that my parents had at that moment. It was just unbelievable. And so, of course, we played up. We were always wrestling in my room, and so we played up this elaborate ruse that we'd been wrestling.
Don't we call that a ruse?
And I do now. But yeah, we called it a scheme back then. And that we got pushed up against the window, and we broke it that way. And so the BB gun or the slingshot wasn't the culprit for it. And of course she was upset that the window was broken, but, you know, us roughhousing wasn't as big a deal as me taking that slingshot and shooting out my window. So that was one of the things that it really stuck with me, that, wow, I can't believe the wisdom and the foresight that she had.
I think I understand it.
I do now, because my kids ask for things.
Oh.
And
you use that same wisdom, I hope?
And it, over the years, of course, I see, you know, what they're capable of, and I see their maturity level. And when they ask for things, I have to, you know, bring it back a little bit, bring it back into reality. And I'm more still kind of on the side of immaturity. My wife's the one that has to bring in that level of maturity and say, they're not ready for this.
It's not going to change.
Yeah, unlikely. And so, you know, when I want to buy him a motorcycle, she says, well, how about we just get a new bike? You know, they can bicycle around. They're going to get enough skin, knees, and elbows from the bike and then the motorcycle. And so she wins out sometimes. I win out other times. But, those are the types of things that kind of stood out to me. And what I learned about that is parents do have that wisdom, and they need to impart it on their children, whether they like it or not.
Yeah, and they also have a responsibility to make sure the windows are working.
Yeah. And, of course, this doesn't just go along with rearing your children when they're young and going through adolescence, but also in the gift that you give them ultimately when you pass away and you pass on their estate. So sometimes you need to think about that. Are your kids mature enough financially to receive the gift that you can give them? Or do you need to spread it out a little bit or put some types of restrictions on it? Or in some way help educate them to help them be responsible for the inheritance, the gift that you're about to give them.
And those restrictions are up to them. I mean, they can give it creative.
Absolutely. And if they don't do anything, then it's going to be all outright. Right. You know, and it can be to a young kid 18 years old.
It's like winning the lottery, and it never ends well for a lot.
No.
People that win the lottery. It's just amazing.
We have a break coming up. This is 560 AM KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
More thought-provoking conversation coming up next on Life, Death, and the Law, right here after this.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Join Mark Patrick's seminars and lose the weight or stop smoking guaranteed for only $49.99. Because of the coronavirus, the seminar now online, live, with America's hypnotist, Mark Patrick. Live online seminar for the greater Yuma area, Saturday, May 9th. Register now, only $49.99 guaranteed at MarkPatrickSeminars.com.
Your two-bedroom home when you first got married.
This bedroom will make the perfect office.
Your two-bedroom home after your first child.
I can work out of the bedroom. It won't be that bad.
Your two-bedroom home after kid number two.
Honey, are we going to have to sleep on the couch?
Don't move. Improve.
Maybe you don't love your home as much as you did when you first bought it. As your family grows, you outgrow your home. As we spend more time at home during this health crisis, you become more aware of things you need to enhance your home. Kitchen too small and outdated? You might need to add a bathroom or extra bedroom. Whatever your need, Sunnyside Construction has you covered. Now is the perfect time to create the home your family deserves. Call Sunnyside Construction at 785-2285. That's 785-2285. Or visit them online at azsunnyside.com. Ask for the KBLU special, available only to KBLU listeners.
Hi, it's Steve Mann. Have you heard the commercials for the Mark Patrick Stop Smoking Seminars? And they said only $49.99 and it could work for you. So I thought, that's not even a week's worth of smoking. So I went. And guess what? It did work for me. You know, my friends and family are still amazed. I quit smoking. I didn't have cravings, anxiety, or weight gain. Listen, I don't know how it works, but I know it works because I'm living proof and it's 100% guaranteed. So what do you got to lose? I'll tell you what you got to lose. A very bad habit.
Stop smoking now without cravings, irritability, weight gain, or your money back. Only $49.99 guaranteed. Hypnosis designed to work without anxiety, irritability, or weight gain. Because of the coronavirus, the seminar now online live with America's hypnotist, Mark Patrick, in the comfort and safety of your living room. Live online seminar for the greater Yuma area will be held live Saturday, May 9th. Register now. Only $49.99 guaranteed at MarkPatrickSeminars.com.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner with the Deason Garner and Hansen Law Firm. I'm here with Russ Clark, and we're talking about Christmases of the past. Have you had a gift that you really, really wanted that you didn't get on Christmas? And how did you react?
I was a selfish, boiled, bratty kid, I guess.
Uh-huh.
You know, like most of us.
No, I could see that.
The disappointment, you know, we had to be well known.
Uh-huh.
You know, we had to make sure everybody knew I was disappointed.
Yeah. I wore my feelings on my sleeve very easily.
It happened. I generally didn't understand that, you know, money was finite.
Mm-hmm.
That opportunities were finite.
Or maybe you just weren't mature enough or didn't need or that gift wasn't a good thing for you.
That's a potential, you know, also.
Yeah. There was a year that money was very tight. It was 1992. And my dad had embarked on this new venture. He was a logger as I was growing up. So most of my formative years, he was logging and I was out there chopping wood. He would always deliver a load of logs to our house that was kind of the leftover from what they were harvesting for the meals. And we would saw those load of logs up, and we would use it to burn for heat all winter long. We relied almost entirely on firewood for our heat. Once in a while, we would get to turn on the electric heat, but not very often. So that was our job, and that was good. It taught us a lot of hard work, but there wasn't a lot of spare money. Well, there was still enough money when he was logging to get the things that we wanted, but we still wouldn't get them if we weren't mature enough, because our parents were mature, and they got us what was best for us rather than what we wanted.
Right.
And this one particular year, my dad had retired from logging, and he purchased a T-shirt shop. He decided there's two industries in Sandpoint, Idaho, and one of them was the lumber industry, and the other one was a tourist industry. So he thought, you know, I'm going to put this lumber industry on the back burner for a little bit. I'm getting older. I want something that I can work a little bit longer into my older years into. And he bought this T-shirt shop. And so he thought he would try his hand at the tourism part of the venture. And he wasn't a very good T-shirt salesman.
Okay.
And so the business really didn't do very well. In fact, they went bankrupt. And we didn't have any money. And I knew about it, but I still wanted what I wanted, right? And so this was approximately the year that Nintendo came out with their 64-bit Super Nintendo.
Yeah.
And I really, really wanted one. And they were $200 if you got the cheap package, $250, I remember, if you got the package with two paddles and a couple extra games. But I really wanted one. I said, you don't have to get me anything else. And my parents were thinking, well, we're really not going to get you anything anyway. You don't have to give me anything else. If you just give me this one gift. And so I begged and pleaded, and they said, no, you're not going to get it. And again, they weren't trying to make it a surprise. They were trying to
let you down right now.
Yeah, help me understand. Christmas morning is not going to, you know, see you with the Christmas of a Nintendo under the tree. So, anyway, I begged and hoped against hope, and I did not get it. But I did get something that was what they thought similar, and it was a Mario typing computer program.
Oh, no.
So my mom had a computer because she did the books for the business, and she thought, well, we've already got this computer. We're not going to buy this separate Nintendo game that only plays games. The computer has the capacity of playing games. And so we're going to do this Mario typing where he can actually learn a skill. And, you know, he likes this Mario stuff. So we'll do Mario typing.
Yeah.
And I was super disappointed. And I went outside and spent a lot of time outside instead, which was actually good. Because today I enjoy outside and just getting out there and you know, it's healthy and I enjoy the outdoors. But I did sit down from time to time when no one was looking, and I
didn't want anyone to know you enjoyed it.
Yeah, and typed on that Mario program.
Yeah,
and I did learn some really good basic skills, like the finger placement. I never had to do the hunt and peck, because I got this when I was still in junior high.
Right.
And so I learned proper finger placement on the keyboard about how to type. And so as I got into high school, my fingers, you know, I would get a little quicker on the proper placement, and I wouldn't have to look at my fingers when I was typing. And so I'd have a lot of friends that would come over, and they'd help. They would pay me a dollar or two to type up their reports.
Awesome.
And it's something that's actually served me well through high school, through college, and even today. I sit there when my clients are talking to me, and I've got this 40-inch screen that I turned towards them, and I've got one turned towards me, and we type out what they're saying. We type out their estate planning. Now, I still fumble a bit. I'm not the greatest typist. I don't type 70 words a minute or anything, but I can type competently enough that I can get down their ideas as they talk, and by the time they leave, I can print out an outline of what they've told me based on the suggestions I'm giving them, and they can have an outline now that they can go home, and 95% of their estate plan is already created in an outline, and they get to go home and focus on that 5% and fill in the blanks and feel like, okay, we've got this outline down, now we can take the next step, sign a plan, get it in order, and get things moving along. And maybe Mario typing
didn't hurt you.
it certainly didn't hurt. I don't know if it deserves a full credit for that.
Yeah.
But it certainly didn't hurt, and I'll tell you what, I did save money to buy my own Nintendo. It took me about 3 or 4 months, and I bought it and spent way too much time that first summer that I had it on it, you know, all night long trying to beat all the different levels of Mario, and then got sick of it, and I've never actually gone back to video games, and I know that a lot of people, there's an actual addiction.
Oh, yeah.
For video games.
Oh, yeah.
And certainly anything in moderation is good. I think you sit down and you need to...
Not just, anything. I mean, still, heroin in moderation is still heroin.
What? You know what? Heroin was used for a painkiller.
Okay, well, then you're okay in that.
Early on. Moderation is the idea, right? And I'm not advocating for heroin, but I'm saying most things in moderation are okay. It's just there's a lot of things that are very addictive, and video games... are one of those.
Oh, yeah.
And fortunately, I didn't fall into that addiction. I don't have it today. And I enjoy the outdoors. I enjoy being productive and learning. And I really I love working and being productive. And I think a lot of that had to do with those very depressing Christmas mornings that my parents didn't give me what I wanted, but what I needed.
But you knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise.
You know, I don't think that I ever did catch on. I always hoped, against reason,
okay.
that they were going to give me what I wanted.
They're going to make me happy after all.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. And so the final one was this Christmas. It was 1994. Still, we had no money, okay? Parents are bankrupt, and I have a duffel bag that's totally fine. I did high school wrestling, and so I needed, you know, a duffel bag for my sports gear. So I asked for a duffel bag, and I wanted a new Nike duffel bag that came out, and it was really expensive. And so they said, well, what about your duffel bag? My mom was a great seamstress. Can't we sew this up? Can we make it nice? And I said, no, it's old. It's not name brand. I want this Nike duffel bag. This is what I want. And I was a freshman in high school. And so Christmas morning comes around, and I did get a new duffel bag, but it was not Nike.
Right.
It was some off-brand, and I don't remember what off-brand it was, but I was really disappointed, and so I grumbled, and I saved my money again, and I got that Nike bag. And I still have that Nike bag today, and it's good quality. I still have it.
It held up.
I still literally use it today. But the other one, I tossed it. Never used it. So, I'm grateful. We got a caller on the phone. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know if it's a simple question or not. I'm pretty much a nomad. And real estate. I have stuff like that. That's pretty much all taken care of. I've been having one problem. I don't know if it's a problem, but I have one vehicle that's registered in a different state. Now, in Arizona, a vehicle, you can just, like, the day you get it, you can sign off the bottom, and you have an open title, and whoever ends up with it can just take it down and get it put in their name. But I have one that I can't do that with. Is there any way, a simple form, that I can just, say if I die, this vehicle belongs to X, without having to go through any real legal stuff other than maybe a notarized or something like that?
Okay. Well, here's the answer. It depends. And I know that's not what you're looking for, but it depends on what state the vehicle is licensed in and titled in. In Arizona, what you ought to do is you can easily get this form, which is provided by the Arizona Department of Transportation. And so if you Google ADOT beneficiary designation, then what should come to the top of your search results is a form, a PDF form. It's fillable that you can fill out. And you put the VIN number and the description of your vehicle. It's very self-explanatory. You sign it. You have it notarized. And it's a beneficiary designation. So you don't actually sign the title of your vehicle. Generally, you want to keep that title unsigned until you're going to sell it. But you can create this beneficiary designation, and you keep it together with your title. So if you die, before the vehicle is transferred, then your beneficiary, who you listed on that beneficiary designation, can take that to the MVD, and they can have the title transferred into your name. And a lot of states do that. And so what you should do is you should Google that for the state that that vehicle is titled in. That's all the time that we have for this segment. We are going to take a break. This is 560 AM, KBLU, Life, Death, and the Law.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning, everyone. I'm April Hettinger from KYMA News 11. We have some local coverage and news updates. Many states are in the process of reopening public spaces as coronavirus numbers decline in some areas, but others express their fear as the death toll rises. Here in Yuma County, we have now hit 62 cases of the coronavirus. This is three more than was reported Saturday. There is still one death in Yuma, and Imperial County still stands at 251 cases with 67 patients that have recovered. There are eight deaths related to the coronavirus. The Yuma County Sheriff's Office confirms one man was killed in a boat accident at the Colorado River. The crash happened Saturday afternoon when a boat and a jet ski collided. The driver of the jet ski was pronounced dead. It is unknown if there were any other injuries. This is an ongoing investigation, and you can check out KYMA.com for updates. Have a great day, everyone.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back, Yuma. This is Sean Garner. I'm an attorney with Deason, Garner, and Hansen, and I'm in studio here with Russ Clark. Mm-hmm. We are talking about gifts of Christmas past and what they've taught me over the years and lessons I still have to learn, I suppose. But the last Christmas, I talked about getting this bag that was a no-name bag. Now, my parents were never into name brands. They never got that. They were into quality, something that lasted a long time, and most of the time that quality was something that was made by them at home.
Right.
And so my mom had made me a very good duffel bag, and I used it for years. I used it, I think I started using it in fifth or sixth grade, and I used it all the way through junior high, but in high school it wasn't good enough. In high school I wanted something that was name brand. I wanted the Nike bag. And if I remember right, it was something like $75. It was
Ouch.
An expensive bag.
Man.
Yeah. And it was mainly because of the name. And so they bought me this other bag that looked like it, but it wasn't Nike. And I never gave that bag the time of day. I don't think I ever used it. And I went and saved my money, and I got a Nike bag. Now, the Nike was good quality, at least back then. I don't know. I don't spend money on Nike bags today. But it was very good quality. I still have it today. I still use it. And so it's one of those things that my parents said, if you want it, go and earn the money for it, because we're not going to spend that type of money for a name brand. And I did.
Yeah.
I saved my own money, and I bought that bag, and I really appreciated it. I used it for the rest of my high school career, and I still have it today. And so I want to relate those three different Christmas gifts to estate planning and the types of lessons that you can pass on to your children, your legacy that you pass on as you're setting up your estate plan. Number one, take in consideration their maturity level and give accordingly. So don't give in a way that is going to allow their maturity to create more harm than good because of your gift. So if you've got kids that are either financially irresponsible or they're young.
Just immature.
They could just be simply immature. Then you can spread that gift out over a period of time. You can put restrictions or safeguards on the distribution of that gift over time, and that can really help them to be financially responsible over their lives. Because if they get that taste of money early on and without the responsibility, that can really hamper them and be a destructive influence for the rest of their lives. Number two, give something that's practical. Or give it in a way that's practical. You don't have to save it all up and wait till you pass away to give it away. A lot of people come to me and they say, I want to give now. And I think that's a fantastic idea. Let's do that. Let's find out responsible ways to give some of your wealth that you've accumulated now. Maybe you don't need it. First of all, let's do a forecast to see what you're going to need during retirement to make sure you're not going to run out of money, because you're my first and foremost priority. I'm not going to put your kids ahead of you, even if you ask me to. I just can't do that. That's conflict of interest with you sitting right here in front of me. So let's talk about some things that are practical. Family vacations are very practical. Let's create some memories here. Let's spend some money on that. A practical car vehicle, don't go out and buy them the brand new pickup, right, or the brand new sports car. Buy, if they need a vehicle, that's fine. Buy them a vehicle. Usually, I like them having some skin in the game. Put a little bit of money down. Maybe it's dollar for dollar or $2 for dollar. Let them contribute some money into it, or they pay the insurance or the gas. But if you're paying for everything, then they're not going to appreciate it. They're going to get the taste for it, and they're not going to be able to sustain that when you're not around providing it for them. And what that's going to do is going to generate debt, and it's not going to be sustainable, and then they're going to end up really bad off when they've got a car that they're upside down on and they can't afford. So that's some of my advice out there. And another thing is education. I think education obviously is super important. But if you just throw it out there and pay for their education for them, say, and I have a lot of clients, very well-intentioned, that come in and say, I want my kids and my grandchildren to get an education, therefore we're going to set up an education fund, and they're going to be able to go to school for free. And I think an education is really important, but again, I do think they should have some skin in the game, because if it's free, then what you're giving them is entertainment. And that's tantamount to that Nintendo 64, right? That Super Nintendo. Entertainment for entertainment's sake is generally not good and doesn't produce good results. School can be entertaining, and it should be, but you should have some skin in the game. You should be working and contributing toward it. If you're just going to get it paid for without any responsibility on your own, then I think you're going to, human nature is going to take over. You're going to take it for granted, and your grades are going to slip. The education isn't going to provide what it needs to, and that is a foundation to go and create a good career with. But those years are going to be gone, and the grades are not going to be what they need to be, and you're going to be done, and still without a job and a way to support yourself and your family. So I think education is fantastic. Go ahead and contribute, but I really do think that there should be some type of program set up where the kids have to participate and pay portions of the education.
I completely agree. Absolutely.
So, and the third one is something that lasts indefinitely. How do you give your legacy? How do you continue your legacy when you pass away? That's the conundrum that we always come across. And I don't know, Russ, what do you think? How do you give something that lasts, something that will continue from one generation to the next?
Well, that's almost some kind of investment that you never touch the principal. But, you know, what they, I don't know what you call that. But
so, that yeah, you could give some type of fund or annuity.
Yeah, that pays out every year but never touches, you know, when it goes below a certain amount.
Mm-hmm. And another thing,
because everything else can be sold. If it's property or whatever it is, can be sold. And if it's not, it's a white elephant sometimes, where you think you're giving something great, but you got to take care of it.
Yeah.
Like right now, I have to take care of an old piece of furniture that's been in the house since Civil War.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but it's just, it's got to be, you know, it's a responsibility
mm-hmm.
that to take care of it versus a gift.
Yeah. Well, So I bring that one up, and, you know, I asked, and I did, this is the cardinal sin that attorneys should never do, is ask a question that you don't know the answer to.
Yeah.
But that is a question I don't know the answer to. I don't know how you pass on a legacy other than being there for your family and actually maybe work a little bit less, if necessary, so you can spend more time there. And I'm still working on that aspect of it. My family knows I'm guilty of putting in more hours than I need to or should at the office. But passing on a legacy has a lot more to do with the time that you spend with them and the character that they build, the moral character that they develop and the ethics that they develop because they see you and what you do.
And that's just it. Your kids are not going to be educated because you told them to do something. It's because you showed them how to do it.
Yeah. And by putting your wealth in that same category of ethics and character and giving back to your community and showing them that you're philanthropic, that you want others to be able to benefit. There are others that are truly less fortunate, not just lazy, not just they didn't go out and work hard and get an education so they don't have as much because they don't deserve as much, but they're truly unfortunate and they don't have as much and they deserve your charity, they deserve your kindness and your time and your efforts. And when you show your children that you're willing to give that and you give your resources to that cause, that's a legacy worth passing on.
Well, absolutely.
And I think I highly suggest that you do that and that you recommend for your children to be charitable as they give and help them start to contribute in that area and participate in the community that way. So,
yeah, and they'll grow by emulating your behavior.
Exactly. And a lot of times when I have children come in that have parents that have taught them those values and really passed on their legacy, they come in and they're not really eager and chomping at the bit as to how quick can we resolve this estate. They are there to follow what their parents' wishes were, to understand exactly what their parents' wishes were.
Right.
And that is a fantastic and a very warm feeling when they leave the room instead of the children that are there. And you can tell there's some tension when it's like, okay, I know that John is the executor of the estate, but we are all entitled to the same amount, and so I don't want him selling the house to his son, because that house is going to be sold for less than fair market value.
That's common, isn't it?
Oh,
very, very
boy.
Common, yeah.
Very, very common.
Okay.
I like them coming in and they're saying, listen, what did our parents really want for us? Let's read through the trust. Let's understand their wishes. How can we carry it out? How can we minimize the court fees? How can we minimize the taxes? How can we make sure that this is smooth? So our parents' wishes are carried on. We're not gonna fritter away what they've earned for us, but we're gonna continue on their legacy and use their money wisely. Because by using their money wisely, you're carrying on and you're being grateful for what they built up for you. And that's all I can say about that. There is no one thing that you can do for it, but, you know, carry on their legacy that way. And that's all the time that we have for today. This is 560
AM. You got another whole section.
Oh.
We got one more break.
Well, heck. Then, good. I got some more good stuff when we come back. 560 AM, KBLU.
Have a question? Our phone lines are open. Call 344-5258. That's 344-KBLU.
Hey, Yuma, Dave Ramsey here. If you listen to our show or know anything about us, then you know I only recommend products and services I trust and I believe in. That's why when it comes to protecting your assets and planning for your loved one's future, you've got to call my friends Sean Garner and Adam Hansen at the law firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen. I encourage you to take the first step and attend a free, no-pressure seminar and learn all of your options. The firm of Deason, Garner, and Hansen has been educating the Yuma community for over 40 years, and this is the only area of law that they practice. Sean and Adam believe in giving free education to help people make smart decisions about their assets and help them leave a legacy for their family that they can be proud of. Schedule a free personal consultation today. Call 783-4575 or visit YumaEstatePlanning.com.
Hey, this is Lisa Stofan. Heard the Mark Patrick weight loss hypnosis hype? Well, I attended because my father stopped smoking with hypnosis. Hypnosis eliminated my desire for soda and fast food, made me want to exercise, and I lost 60 pounds in 6 months. My energy level exploded. I went to another session to deal with some other problem foods, and I lost another 10 pounds. In fact, I brought my husband. He lost weight. More important, cholesterol and blood pressure improved. My friend went, and she lost 20 pounds in the first 2 months. So does Mark Patrick hypnosis work? Oh, yeah, it works. Nothing has changed my life more. Well, except maybe my husband. He's so proud of me. Makes me cry.
That is truly a great story. Now, because of coronavirus, the seminar now will be online, live, with American hypnotist Mark Patrick in the comfort and safety of your living room. Live online seminar for the greater Yuma area will be held live Saturday, May 9th. Register now, only $49.99 guaranteed at markpatrickseminars.com.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
You're listening to Life, Death, and the Law, presented by the Deason Garner Law Firm.
Welcome back. This is Sean Garner, attorney from Deason Garner and Hansen. We are still open, and we are essential business. I'm very fortunate that we fell into that category, because I don't know what we would do if we didn't fall into that category. My condolences go out, and I share the concern for many of the businesses out there in the community that for some reason or another don't fall under that essential business category and have shut their doors. And a lifetime worth of building and saving and scrimping and putting their heart and blood and sweat into their dream is either compromised or gone up in smoke because of the businesses being shut down.
Right.
And I, every morning I wake up and I think about that. And this is something that I'm truly grateful for, going to work, that I get the opportunity to go to work. And I don't say I have to go to work.
No.
And I haven't for a long time. I really enjoy what I do. But I get to go to work, and now I can truly say that, and other people can can hear it and understand it as probably as truly as I mean it, because that's not an opportunity that everybody has right now.
No.
And I just can't imagine how hard that's got to be on some of these families out there.
I feel bad for them. Some families have been devastated, and, you know, the ones that don't get hurt, and I was just kind of amazing, but everyone has, like, government jobs. Nobody got shuttered.
Yeah.
You know, the only one that got shuttered were the citizens that are paying the taxes for the government.
Yeah, and of course, how does that work, right? How do we continue to pay the same salary? Because I haven't heard of any government employees actually taking any hit on any of their pay. Because
a lot of them got
unable
sent home, but they're still getting their pay.
They're getting exact same pay. So certainly government doesn't work like a private business.
But they see themselves as essential, but the rest of us aren't. That's upside down.
Yeah.
Something's wrong.
Yeah, essential to me is the small businessman, because that is the lifeblood of America. That's what keeps America free. And I'm not going to go too much on my soapbox here, but if we're not allowed and we're not able to maintain a living for ourselves, if we rely on the government either for a job or for subsidies or for a handout or for whatever, then we're not free.
No.
We truly aren't. And so I get really afraid at how easily we give up that opportunity, that privilege.
We all did it. It was pretty amazing.
To go to work. And I'm not trying to understate the health issues of COVID-19. No. I'm not a doctor. I don't know how serious it is. I haven't, that I know of, been stricken with it myself or my family members. Although I was talking to several family members yesterday that they're going to go and get tested, because as they think back over the past couple of months, they thought, well, maybe we did have some symptoms and maybe we've got the antibodies already,
yeah.
You know, and we just didn't even know it. So they're going to go and get tested and see whether or not they've had it. But they know that when the topic comes up with me, I start to get a little preachy, and I say, listen, Are you not scared that the government can just, with, you know, one statement or one executive order, take away a career that you've worked your entire lifetime for? It?
Yeah.
Isn't that taking away your property? Isn't that taking away your freedom without due process? And so I know that's a difficult question to ask. It came up last time when we discussed it on the radio,
sure,
what I thought we should do. And I certainly think it should go day by day, if not week by week, and not month by month, about how we treat this. But I think that getting to work is essential, absolutely essential. Getting back to work is something we got to focus and put in our primary.
And something that scares me, too, is now that they've done this once, the next time we have a bug out there, are they going to do it again and again? Are we never going to have a normal economy again? Are we never going to have normal?
Well, and that scares me. And also that they gave away so much money so quickly and so freely. Now, did they do it with the right intention? I think so. They wanted to help the ease of the suffering of the families that were out there.
Yeah, well, some of it. Some of it was to pay for pet projects.
But I'll tell you what. There's a lot of people out there that want the general public, the American society, to rely on the government. And a good way to do that is just to feed them some money and give them that taste, right?
Yep.
And then you're hooked, right?
Yep.
And once you taste that free, that entitlement or that subsidy, then it's really hard to give up. In fact, I've got a lot of estates that received a $1,200 deposit in their account that the individuals have been passed away for a year or more.
I've heard of that happening.
It's not just happening a little bit. It's happening a lot.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's quite a bit.
I never did get my $1,200.
Really?
No, I never did.
Oh, my goodness. So, and it's bizarre. And I talked to some people, and I said, you know, we probably could have done this just as efficiently by dumping suitcases full of money out of a plane. and just as deserving people would have received the money. So, I don't know. It's always easier to critique how the administrations work than it is to give them good advice as to how to do it. But I'm scared as to what is going to happen, because now we set this precedent of given up so quickly this right to work, this privilege to work and to earn money for ourselves, and we've taken so willingly this handout from the government that it's now setting a precedent that the government is who takes care of us, not ourselves.
It's going to be up to the people, and the people have got to stand up and say, don't do it again.
And
we'll see.
And make that difficult choice of saying, we don't want any more handouts. Stop it. Let us work for
right.
our own benefit. Let us put our energy and our skills back to work, and let's get to working together, and let's work through this.
I think the majority of people would say that, but we'll see if they win out. Back in the 70s, we had gas crunch, and Jimmy Carter and all that, they started making us drive at 55 miles an hour because it would save gas. Well, after the gas crunch was over, they kept the 55 because it saved lives.
Mm-hmm.
People were like, heck no. And you know what? We got they got raised back up to 75, and more people died. But we took that risk because we want to use the car for what it was made and get to Phoenix.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, if we drove 25, we'd even save more lives. But what are we willing to give up for that?
That's the question. Is it worth our freedom to save a life?
Yeah.
And there's, I know that there's a lot of people out there that says if one life would be saved,
sure,
then it's worth it. But at the same time, those are the people that are saying, well, we've got to save the polar ice caps from melting, and we've got to keep the population down so abortions are okay. And I'm going to say, oh, hold on a second. To do all this, money's needed, right, to keep the economy going.
Right.
And we've got to have people to run the economy. We have to have people actually working
right.
to run the economy. And we can't just shut everything down. We actually have to constructively collaborate our genius together and work towards a problem rather than sit home and wait for the problem to resolve itself. I just never understood how sitting home... Now, I get it that we want to limit how quickly the virus spreads and not overwhelm our healthcare professionals.
Well, and
I am not advocating that we all go out and get sick and overwhelm our healthcare professionals and then we're all sick and dying.
But that was the original intent of it. But even now that that's over, they're changing it like, well, let's not do it too soon. Now they're not worried about the healthcare anymore because we realize you're not going to overwhelm the hospitals. Didn't even overwhelm them in New York, where it was the worst on the planet, was New York.
Mm-hmm.
And we didn't overwhelm them. They never did use the boat we saw or all those other things. Sweden never did shut down.
Right.
And they had a much better time than the countries that did.
And a couple trillion dollars can save a lot of lives. There are a lot of people that are dying from the diseases that have been out there for a long time that aren't headline diseases because...
Malaria,
not,
AIDS.
Exactly,
millions.
Because they're not new. And not only that, but... all of these refugees from these war-torn countries
yeah.
that aren't receiving just basic human needs.
Oh.
And
well, yeah. Average age is not the 80 that we exist here. Average age is more like 30 and 40.
Right.
Yeah.
So anyways, it's tough for me to see that happen. I'm really about the small business working hard.
You only got like half a minute.
Okay.
And then you're out of time.
Well, we do have online seminars, so if you want to learn about what I actually do know about, not politics, I'm not a professor in politics, I'm not a politician, I know about estate planning. So go to our website, yumaestateplanning.com, and you can watch our seminar on your phone, on your computer, on any of your electronic devices, and you can learn more about how you can get your estate and your affairs in order. This is Sean Gardner, and this is Life, Death, and the Law.
If you have questions or want to know more about something that was discussed today, please call the Deason Garner Law Firm at 928-783-4575 or visit yumaestateplanning.com.
The preceding show on 560 KBLU was a paid program. All opinions expressed by the program participants are solely their current opinions and do not reflect the opinions of 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters, LLC, their respective parent companies or affiliates, or the companies with which the program participants are affiliated and may have been previously disseminated by them.
The program participants' opinions are based upon information they consider reliable, but neither 560 KBLU, Eldorado Broadcasters LLC, nor its affiliates, nor the companies with which such participants
from the
are
one-hour air conditioning and heating studio, this is Houston 560 KBLU.